Want to just do this quick?
Yeah, let's just do this quick.
I think I started last one, so it's your turn. 72, didn't I?
I think I did, but I don't okay, care. I can start one.
That's fine. If you think you did it, you probably have better memory than I have. I probably just think of team building exercise.
Yeah, you... It doesn't matter. I'm racking my brains, and it really doesn't matter. No one else knows that we go back and forth. I think that's just a thing that we do, and that you could ask...
Everyone knows.
Everyone pays attention. No one listens to any other content. The rest of it's nonsense. They just tune in to see if we can do it.
Who's
going to
say start it?
It's our organizational skills that have brought our legions of fans, not any of the content, nor our witty repartee.
That's true.
Okay, well, if you insist, Rob, if that's what you say is true...
I'll start. I'm starting, okay?
Okay, after all that.
Yes.
Okay, shake it off. Yep. Okay, get the sillies out. Come on.
Welcome to the Dead Zone Podcast. Dead Zone is the sci-fi tabletop miniature skirmish game from Mantic Games. And now, here are your hosts, Rob Harper and Jack Fike. I am your announcer, William Randolph Wintergreen.
Welcome to the 73rd episode of Dead Zone the Podcast for July 2017. In this episode, we look at the rest of the new Dead Zone FAQ. As always, you can go to deadzonegame.podbean.com to see all the pictures, or you can go to youtube.com/c/deadzonethepodcast for the video version of the show. And now on to the episode. Welcome to episode 73 of Dead Zone the Podcast. It's still July. What happened here? We had that big episode last time. I'm Rob.
And I'm Jack.
And we're back for a real episode. The last one was our unveiling, but this is the real deal. We got some news. We got some FAQ talk. Maybe we'll get some stuff right this time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And we have a good review here, too.
We don't need any memes of us being faulty in the way we read the FAQ last time. We don't need any of the awful things that were said to us, the mean-spirited, terrible things that were posted about us. We don't need any of that. So this one's going to be perfect.
Unless they do an animated version, I'll be up for that. I'll do more mistakes if you get some animation going.
If someone animated any of one of our shows, any of them, if someone took the time, just the thought of that, it put the corners of my mouth. I think people call it a smile. I don't know. It doesn't. I don't do that. But
there was cracks. You got
the
like
little
pressure
crinkles
cracks
right there. Just the thought of it.
Careful, you might get laugh lines.
Yeah, well, yeah.
First of all, let's not forget, we do have a contest currently running on, and this is your last chance to get in. We'll mention the winner on the next episode, 74. So please, do email us at deadzonepodcast@gmail.com with the subject Mod Cubes Rock, and you'll have the chance of winning the set of Mod Cubes for Dead Zone. And once again, go on... the Mod Cubes Facebook page and bother him and say that you want more Dead Zone Mod Cubes and tell him that we sent you. And hopefully we'll get him to start producing more of those Dead Zone Mod Cubes because currently they are out of production. So please do get on that.
And how is it we're going to choose the winner? What criteria is it? Did you have anything in mind, or is it just like we're going to randomly...
Yeah, usually it's a random number generator, but do you have any other ideas? Do you have something you're thinking of?
Throw out every entry so far and then make it a essay contest.
Just change it all? And it has to be a 1,000-word essay?
Midway through, no one would be angry at that. No one would.
No one would enter. I wouldn't enter that contest.
Mud cubes are that good, though. I think someone would. I think many people would. Mud cubes are, in my mind, worthy of an essay.
Well, personally, I say KISS. Keep it simple. Stupid. And, we'll just random number generate it, I guess. So okay. Get it. Get your entries in if you want a chance to win anywhere in the world. Hopefully not too far away. I don't want to have to ship to Antarctica again. So, other than that, we do have some news. Are you ready for some news? There you go. We have Star Saga news. The Star Saga core game, which includes the massive Plague Aberration, our lovely aberration. I think it's a different sculpt of him. And the Kickstarter exclusive miniatures, Blaine, the Survivor, Hacker Halftail, and Kira Nikolovsky. See, it's Kira. She has a first name. It is a girl. We've always wondered if it was a girl. Huh.
Well, if the names and gender do work the same way for
that's true. I'm being very, that's true. I'm close-minded. That's true. It could be Kira could be a boy's name in the future.
Yeah. Or for different species.
Yeah, she is a sphere too, so. that's all being shipped in October. So that's great. We have Star Saga coming in October. And then early next year, they'll be delivering the rest of the pledge, including, the character creator expansion, mission creator expansion, and the rest of the bonus items, including the nameless, won't be till next year, but at least we'll get the core game to us in October. That's pretty awesome.
So just before the Warpath Kickstarter makes it to us.
Well, we'll see. It's going to be a race between the vehicles finishing up and getting us to us if they finally get them done. And but ahead of the Dreadball. So Dreadball 2 is going to be after that. So it's a nice sign. But we also have a 3D print of a nameless monstrosity. Look at that thing. It is quite large.
And we saw the pictures of the the artist's conceptual thing of it, and it does look very much like that, but I did not know the scale from the pictures before. Now you put a model beside it and you think, oh yeah, that's big.
Yeah, it's about, I'd say, 3 times taller than the GCPS soldier that's next to it, and it's got a lot of tentacles too to even make it even taller and wider. And I think they said this one's going to be at a 78mm base, so he's a big boy. But he looks gribbly, and he looks solid, and he's huge.
Hopefully it's made of metal.
Yeah, so he can break people's heads open. You want to murder someone with a model? That'd be the one to do it.
So the table just tips ever so slightly.
That's right. Just, yeah. Oh no, we have to buy a new table. It's like, just snaps it in half. We also have sample layout pages of the book, so more of those. We have a layout of a dungeon. Or a spaceship, I guess this is. Or a space... It's a space station, I believe. So there you go. And we have some sequence of play, and they have some picatures. It looks very much like all the other Mantic books, I would say.
Yeah, it's got a lot of the same... obviously, the font's the same, but it's got a lot of the same way they lay out the important information, the colors, everything. It's very Mantic-y. And I liked the original books that Mantic released for Dead Zone. But now all the books are starting to get the same polish and the same. They got their feel. They know what they're doing now to make the Mantic. You look at it, and you go, Mantic.
Yeah, especially for the Warpath ones, the sci-fi ones, and even the Kings of War ones. They're all like on that parchment kind of paper, so it's good they're keeping a consistency amongst all their brand. And we also got some sample tiles, so we get the look of it. Very reminiscent, I think, of the battle zones. Like, same kind of, cutouts of on them, like, you know?
Yeah. It's got some of the same angles, some of the same, shapes within the, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's certain shapes that are, patterns that have reemerged. That's good. Again.
Yeah, like a line with a 45 degree angle, then another line kind of thing, and.
Yeah, they're keeping they're building a world that has like a through line.
Yep, and it's pretty polished and it's all shiny except for the big blood splats all over it.
Yeah, I couldn't decide whether that was a handprint that went on the side or it looks like someone's face. Maybe they pushed a bloody face against there and smear.
Yeah. And we also have some more 3D sculpts. We have another shot of the new Blaine for this. He's got the big shoulder pads and the Skeksis gun, same gun as the Warpath Kickstarter.
Yeah.
And we also have the a Terraton with double pistols there. He's pretty cool. I do like new sculpts for Terratons. That's cool.
Yeah, and you know, the more you can mix them up and stuff and have a lot of people like a couple Terratons in their strike force for Dead Zone. So if you really want to like stand out, there you go. There's another
shock trooper or something.
Yeah. It wouldn't work for the shock. Well, maybe. It doesn't matter. Yeah.
Well, I know people are using the Dreadball ones, since they're the male Dreadball ones, the smaller ones, the shock troopers.
Yeah, yeah.
And I like its shell, too. It's more like a, what are they called?
A tortoise, more so than a...
Yeah, more spiky.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's really cool. So if the model looks as cool as this, that's pretty awesome. And then we have some nameless. The first one is the one with the, looks like a shoulder-mounted gun. And he's got his tentacles. He's very reminiscent of the Dreadball. I don't know why I corrected myself. The Dreadball guy just with a gun-mounted shoulder gun. I'm not sure. I'm not big on that gun. I think it's a little too big and bulbous on his shoulder.
I like it. It looks like the War of the Worlds with
it does a bit here, right?
And it's got the arm and the. I like it. You and I can agree to disagree on the aesthetics of that gun.
And we also have the other nameless guy who's got the claw hands and his feet are changed. Remember before they were like more claw feet, but these almost look like hooves,
cloven hooves almost. Yeah. Yeah, I really like that model.
It's pretty cool. I like the. I like how it's one arms down, so he'd get a 3-point stance because his feet are pretty small.
But I like he's got the same face and everything, but it shows that the nameless aren't just like the. It's got the tentacles that say I'm nameless, but it's got more to it. You can tell that it's not just like the race has a lot of variation in it. And I don't know what's going on with his big giant hand, but it looks dangerous.
Yeah, it's cool. And moving on to Dead Zone / Warpath. Well, mostly Warpath because these are all vehicles. On Nemantic Site, the vehicles are finally up for sale. So we have the Accuser Interceptor / Persecutor Bomber for £25 or $40. And that's we have that one. And then when you get the whole Aerial Support Wing, the same thing, but for three of them for $70 or $110. That's not bad for three models. They're big models, too.
Yeah, they are.
And then you get the Arbiter Interceptor, the other one that has the metal guns on the wings. For the metal guns, cost an extra $5 to get those metal guns if you want that guy instead. So it's £30 or $50. And three of them is $85 or $130. It's I think it's the time and energy they put into making the metal bits that they charge a little bit more for them, but it's all good.
And for Mantic models, that's on the high end of the price scale. But if you start looking at the competition,
oh yeah, that's like one vehicle for
$125 for three big models.
Yeah,
you're not going to find that elsewhere.
Yeah, exactly. And then we got the Ajax Strider, the heaviest model because his shield and his spear are both solid metal, and his faceplate. He weighs a ton. They have them up for sale finally. They are £18 or $30. Pretty good for a little mech.
Yeah, the stats don't wow me, but the way you have it with the you have yours pretty solid. He's standing there in a pretty defensive position. It's a nice looking model.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. He's cool. And then we got some of the stuff we don't have yet because we're people who bought too much of the Warpath Kickstarter. We have the Halter Half Track. And that's going to be £15 or only $25 for the halter. And then we got the Sturmhammer Battle Tank, £30 or $50. And then you can get a whole unit of those battle tanks for $85 or $130. And then the APC is $25 or $40. And the whole unit is $70 or $110. We don't have these guys. We've seen the unboxing, especially on Dreadpath Zone. He did a nice unboxing and assembly guide on that thing. And they looked awesome, but we don't have them in our grubby hands yet.
Not yet.
But soon, maybe. Hopefully. After they finally produce the I think it's the Asterion ones that are holding everything up. I think they're the last to be made, so we'll hopefully be getting those in the fall. And that wraps it up for news, Jack.
That's quite a bit of news. There was a lull for a while. We didn't have much to and now a little bit more. And hopefully, the ball is rolling now. It seems like Mantic's starting to do a little bit more interactive with the fans and stuff. And that's good. We'll be able to keep everyone up to breast.
Yep. So we'll be back for the FAQ talk, because even more stuff came out with the official release of the FAQ. So we'll discuss that after the break. We'll be right back.
You have been listening to the Dead Zone Podcast with your hosts, Jack Fike and Rob Harper. The Dead Zone Podcast is dedicated to Dead Zone, the tabletop miniature game by Mantic Games. Visit them at manticgames.com.
Hey, this is Community Pat, and you are listening to Dead Zone, the podcast.
And welcome back to the Dead Zone Podcast, episode 73. We're just going to delve into the FAQ, the newest FAQ. It seems like they're coming out fast and furious. So without further ado, Rob, what's first on the FAQ?
Well, that first FAQ was not even an official FAQ. That was a sneaky release by some Mantic people when they weren't supposed to release it. So this is the official Errata 2, but it's called 2.1 because they did add in lots more stuff about some faction guys. So we'll go over that stuff. And to start, something called weapons teams have been added. And that's similar to the GCPS beta list. I've always said that once that came out, I was like, why is there two different ways to do teams in Dead Zone? Because you had the Plague Mortars and you had the Reb missile launchers. And then you had the GCPS heavy weapon teams, and they had two different ways of working with them. This makes it all into one way. So they've gone with the weapon teams idea. So a model with the weapon team rules. They have a big weapon. And when they get damaged now, instead of having a long reload, now it's if they get damaged, then they get the long reload. So that's kind of cool. It just makes it so they're all on one base. So you get a 60mm base, you can throw your mortar on there with the loader. And then if they get a wound, it means one of them's taken out of business. And it just means then they're slow loading. So that's kind of cool. I think it makes them more effective. Like you can just shoot every round now, but they're just a bigger target.
I did dislike the way that it worked before, which models they wanted and how the models were named. And it was a whole thing that would never really sat right with me. We've mentioned it about 100 times before. And then when they released the weapons team option, it was like, okay, well, it's only a matter of time before that trickles down from the GCPDS to, yeah, you love when I do that, don't you?
Well, you do it as a joke on the show, but in real life you do it and you don't mean to do it. That's why I think it's funny.
Because now it's I did it once and now that's just it. Anyways, I knew it would be trickling down into the other factions, and it's the right thing to do, and it's good. It's going to work so much better.
Yeah. And I, in the past, I've been anti having to rebase things, but this is one time I'm like, this is a better idea. So yes, you either have to rebase them or stick the whole base onto another base and kind of model around it.
And as you know, I rebased all of mine before last Adepticon, knowing that they were going to be doing this. You can go back into the archives and look. I was like, okay, there's no way they're not going to do this. So I too am against rebasing, but I bit the bullet and.
And in conjunction with that there, the Plague Weapons Team has been made. So you remove Loader, and Plague Weapons Teams is a new specialist. And the mortar now is changed from it's called a heavy crew-served weapon, and it removes a slow reload ability. So it's just makes that into that team there. And also the Plague, because on the Warpath Sprue, the Plague have Flamers, they had to get them into Dead Zone. So now your Plague can have Flamers.
I did build one. He's primed, and I did paint the tank that contains the flaming goo. That's as far as I got. But he's sitting. I'm looking at him right now. He's standing just to the right of a Veerman Strider.
Yes. As you know, in Arnulf Dintel, the rules for a Veerman Strider is right there if you want to ever use them.
If you just want to look at the picture and go, oh my god, that's just right.
And for the enforcers, the Pathfinder Sergeant got a tag rifle finally. For some reason he was Mr. Tag Guy, but he forgot his rifle at home, but he finally remembered to pack it.
Clearly a omission of, you know, just a, that was a omission from the book. It clearly wasn't designed to be that way, and it just had to be addressed.
Yeah. And the Insult of Forcer Jack, they sort of fixed them. They added Frenzy 1 ability to them. They still have a 5 plus fight, so they're not great. It's all right. It's pretty average. I think 5 plus is average. But Frenzy 1, that does help a bit. And it makes them a bit more of an option.
Frenzy is there's the two ways you go about it. And like you said, you could drop the fight stat down so that in the stat line, they're more competent fighters. And that's a 100% guaranteed bonus. Frenzy is more of a chaotic... Maybe it's a bonus. Sometimes you could run the numbers and find out how, you know, what the percent chance of that frenzy being able to you know, buff it up. And, you know, you're going to be more opt to take one now anyways.
It's now become a option instead of a never take. So that's good. And the Enforcer Jet Bike got the flight ability, which is great because now they don't need ramps to go up levels. So you can just fly over things. As long as you land back on a legal spot, you're all good. And that's awesome, because that makes jet bikes really, really powerful.
I liked jet bikes before for various reasons. You can listen to Team Building Exercise, the Enforcers. Now, I think it's going to take a little bit before the true joy of the jet bike comes to light. It's going to take some some like actual games to really see, oh, wow, that changes the game when you can do what the jet bike can now do.
Yes, for sure. And lastly, the sniper rifle finally got AP1. The thing that we've been like, why is this sniper rifle suck compared to everybody else's sniper rifle? It's finally fixed. They put some armor piercing rounds in that gun. And now it's back to being what it should have been all along, AP1.
But Rob, I think this FAQ is a harbinger of doom for our podcast.
I know, everything's getting addressed.
Yeah, everything is getting addressed. We're going to have nothing to complain about, nothing that is going to grind our gears anymore. Everything's kind of like, you know, why is that? We shout at the cloud, shaking our fist vigorously. Now it's all getting addressed, and I don't know. I fear for the podcast.
Yes, I think they just want us off the air.
It's you and me both, buddy. You and me both.
Chief Brocker got a lot of changes. He got a forge hammer, and he got the engineer ability, and strike it rich. And now you can, if you get something you don't like, you can just take an ammo instead, unless it's a booby trap. So that's kind of cool. So at least you can, because it's a stupid ability, but at least now you can just give your guys ammo, which is really not bad. It's, yeah. Steel Warriors and Steel Warrior Specialists reduce their points to only 18 points. That's nice. Coach is very happy about that one, because now they're reasonably priced. And the Brocker Specialist reduced to 15 points. And they got forge hammers, which they never had the hammers before. So that's kind of good. The Brockers deserve their little hammers.
Yeah, considering the models, you know, that was kind of their shtick, the hammers. So
yeah, they need hammers. Forge Guard got solid ability, which makes sense. Those things should be solid. Something I never noticed before, the Iron Ancestor increased its speed from 1, used to, I think, be 1-1, now it's 1-2, so they're slightly faster. That's actually really, they're actually 100% faster.
Yeah, I was just going to say they've completely doubled their speed. That's a drastic.
Yeah, and you were saying were you talking about the Thor pattern? No, you were talking about the Ajax. But the Thor pattern Iron Ancestor with the two hammers, it reduced the points to only 55 points because it was like 64 points or something ridiculous you'd never take. And it got Frenzy too because it's got two hammers. You have to have Frenzy too.
Yeah, I think we discussed on a team building exercise for the Forge Fathers why we wouldn't ever take the Thor pattern over the regular Iron Ancestor. And I honestly, I don't know if this would change my opinion that much, but it's certainly not as terrible as it was before.
Yeah. And Twin Hailstorm Autocannon reduced to 7 points. It's just a little fix there for pointage. For the Asterians, not much got it fixed. They got pretty ignored in this FAQ. The Skyraiser got flight, which is great. The Skyraiser, once again, might be used more since now you can go up and around and get some height advantage. But other than that, nothing for them much.
But another game changer. Like the jet bikes, it's going to take – you're going to have to play a few games before you really start to see – oh, yeah, this is sweet.
Yeah. And for the Marauders, thankfully, they got some increases in their points. So the Commando Captain's is increased to 3 VPs. The Warlord's also 3 VPs. The Hulk is increased to 30 points. The Mauler is now 25 points and 3 VPs. Rainmaker's 25 points, 3 VPs. And the Sunbot got a reduction so people actually might use this thing, got a reduction to 3 VPs and add Frenzy 1. Not like you can find the model for the stunt bot. It was like a limited edition resin model that you cannot find, and I wish they'd make a hard plastic version, but at least the rest of the guys got evened out a bit, and maybe people will start using stunt bots. But it is the Marauder, so who the hell cares?
Yeah, really, really.
And then lastly, the Rebs got their weapon team because they had the Sphere Loader. He's gone now, and the Missile Launcher has that crew-served weapon. So now it's a Sphere Loader with the girl with the rocket launcher, which is cool. And I think, was it Joe Neat? Somebody really modeled one up behind a wall, and it looked amazing.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, we're starting to get the ability to make some art pieces, do some modeling.
Yeah, except for now the wall is a combat wall because you can draw a line of sight from it, but that's all right. Rebel Sorak, this is a big one. It's now a troop. All those Rebel Soraks you've modeled up, finally you can use them, Jack.
Yeah, they were not so extremely great that they should be a specialist. It's the Soraks come with such the numbers of Soraks that come, and to have them as specialists, like no, it was wrong. I never understood that.
Yeah, and Sorak also got the Sword Spawn back for those people who have the model. The stats for it are pretty bad because he has a 6+ fight, which is weird for a guy who's a combat specialist. But he got Frenzy 1. Personally, I like our version of him better. He's actually got Frenzy 1 and Frenzy 1 with his weapon, so he's actually Frenzy 2, but I like ours a bit better. So go to the Unearthed Intel and use our Sword Spawn instead of this one.
I liked the original Sword Spawn.
Well,
He barely stepped out onto the scene, and they nerfed him.
Killed him off. He didn't get nerfed.
he had a brief window of opportunity with which to shine.
Yeah. Yeah, because he came in later sets. I think it was a Kickstarter exclusive, maybe.
His splendor was he was like a candle in the wind.
Aww. And the Judwan Medic did not become a troop, which it should have, but it did get reduced to 10 points. Still not going to take him, but hey, he's cheaper. No. the Territon Shock Trooper, he used to be a Merc. Now he's a part of the Rebs faction, which makes sense. I don't know why he was ever a Merc. But, it's good that they get some more Territon action in the Rebs.
Yeah, in my mind, I thought perhaps he was going to be like they had reserved him for a special character or something. But then they allowed you to have more than one. There were so many half measures that it didn't make any sense. It was kind of contradictory to the rest of the, how the game mechanics worked. So they either had to go, okay, he is now Jimmy Scrambles the Terraton and here's his stats, or he's now a troop. So like they had to go one way or the other. He was kind of in limbo for a while.
And the Rebs also got a flamethrower and a new version of their grenade launcher. I think they had the Terraton had a grenade launcher before, but that's called now a light grenade launcher. And then they have a legit grenade launcher too, which gives them some indirect, which every faction should have some indirect, because that's the fun.
And the Rebs flamer, I can't, for life of me, I can't picture in my head what that is.
They didn't have a flamer before. The only flamers they had in the thing were the one-use ones that the Terraton had, but now they get a real flamer. I don't think there's a model for that yet. I don't know why they made this added in, because they added it to the Plague, but yeah.
Yeah, it's not like, because the Plague has the model, and it's, so like I didn't remember seeing a Reb flamer, so if you're saying it doesn't exist, maybe something on the horizon.
Yeah, not that I know of. Well, yeah, that's the Rebs don't have a Warpath army yet, and that's where most of these new models came from. So maybe when the Rebs get a Warpath army, if they ever do, they'll get some of that more useful things like flamethrowers and grenade launchers. And the last thing, the totally last thing, is that Blaine on a jet bike has a flight ability since he is on a jet bike. So once more, we can use Blaine on a jet bike. He's a merc, but hey, what you gonna do?
You're going to fly by with your size and man, you're going to slice people like a crazy person.
That's something he might do. I think that about covers it. Is there anything I missed, Jack?
I don't think so. That was a very succinct going over of everything that wasn't just basically errata. Like,
yeah,
there's a lot of stuff.
We already went over, yeah.
What you're going to need to do is start making a compilation book, a compiling, because there's a lot of changes now, even from the last book that only came out a year ago.
Well, so, a lot of people are making stickers out of it and putting it into that book, so that's kind of cool.
Oh, you know what I'd like to see? If you're at home and you're like, hey, that's what I'm up to, send us along a picture. I want to see, because we're going to have to do the same thing eventually. So give us some good ideas. Tell us, show us how smart you are, how we can say, hey, this genius did this, and I'm impressed.
Yep. Okay, let's move on, and we'll have some more stuff. I think we have some shout-outs to get to.
Yay, shout-outs.
Dreadpath Zone. Dreadpath Zone is a YouTube channel dedicated to the Warpath universe by Mantic Games. Dead Zone, Warpath, Firefight, Dreadball, and Star Saga Battle Reports, unboxings, how-tos, and much, much more. Full of banter, ridiculous dice rolls, and the love for the hobby. So go check out Dreadpath Zone on YouTube or Facebook, and remember, keep rolling eights.
Hey, this is Jack from the Dead Zone Podcast, and you've been listening to the Dead Zone Podcast.
With Jack from the Dead Zone Podcast.
So much Dead Zone Podcast, it'll make you vomit.
It is shout-outs time.
And welcome back to the Dead Zone Podcast.
So first thing we're going to talk about is that tournament that's coming up that Coach is running, the Conquest of Triton. That is coming up on Sunday, July 30th, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. in Final Fortress Comics, Games and Collectibles in Flushing, New York. So if you're anywhere in near Flushing, New York at the end of July, come on down. Joe Neat from Mantic will be there. Community Pat will be there. And yes, I will be there. So it should be a good time. Jack is not coming because he hates everyone. But
that is true. That is true. There's been a falling out. There's now a schism in the in the Dead Zone community. I've had to take a hard stance on some of their radical thinking, and quite frankly, I think I'm on the side of right.
Yeah. It's I'm much more of a peacekeeper. You're keeping your stand. You're staying in place.
That is true.
Maybe the schism will be healed, but not today. Not today.
Oh God, no, not today.
But this tournament is a 200-point Dead Zone tournament, and it's good for newbies and and veterans alike. There's going to be quite a few people who played a lot. There's also quite a few people who are coming who have it. So it's going to be competitive because it is coach, but it'll be a friendly competitive, probably much like Adepticon.
Yeah, but when you have the world's biggest Dead Zone tournament, you're going to have people of all shades, all different types and what they want to get out of it. So, yeah, you'll find your fit.
We'll see. And if you're interested, you can go to the event page on Facebook. We'll have the link in the show notes. Or you can just message Andrew Jashin on Facebook. That's Coach's real name. Shh, don't let other people know he has a real name. And but anyways, yeah, it's available. Or you can even email us at deadzonepodcast@gmail.com. We'll send the information to you or send you to the right place. And then some more shout-outs. We did have another shout-out from Neil Barton. He sent us a lot of pictures. He sent us his Pathfinders. And they are looking pretty sweet, I would say.
Well, let's take a gander at those Pathfinders. And Rob, if say you were listening at home on the bus or somewhere and you wanted to actually take a look at these pictures, where would someone find them?
You can go to deadzonegame.podbean.com and they'll be in the show notes, all the pictures. Yes, Neil here, he did his Pathfinders. I really like the bases and I like the Pathfinders. They're not your standard. They do have all the normal Pathfinder stuff, but they still look like a cohesive unit. And the one person has a really cool cloak on the crouch down sniper. He did a real cool paint job on the cloak there.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know if it's supposed to be a distinctive pattern for like whatever environment they're supposed to be in, or if that's like a holographic, like that's depicting, say, like electric.
Yeah, that's almost electronic. What I felt like it was like, yeah, like a cloaking device turning off or something. So it's starting to show up or something like that, or changing patterns. I don't know if that's intended, but that's what it looks like to me. It's cool. It's
pretty dynamite.
Yep. Well done, Neil. Thank you. We like it when pictures are sent to us.
We do. And I can't wait till someone shoots that tuft of grass. Says, I see your model.
Yeah. But they can also draw line sight from that tuft of grass. So. Because that tuft of grass is a combat tuft of grass.
It's got all its fauna brethren working in unison to get the lay of the land for you.
They have the spotter ability.
Yes, you think that rubber tree plant in the corner is your friend? It's not.
No, it's part of whatever model it happens to be standing on it.
That is true.
We're not bitter. It's all good.
Oh, God, no. No, no. Pshaw.
Jack, the next shout-out is the one that you wanted to have in here, because you said we've been neglecting them. Please, could you shout out those people that I'm talking about?
Yes. As of late, because we didn't want to be whores, we didn't mention Patreon. We didn't. We wanted to... be a little classy about the situation. We don't want to seem like beggars, but that means as a terrible byproduct that we've neglected some of our bestie friends, and they've made it possible that our hosting costs for the website have been covered. That's all we asked. And so I would like to thank the Top Hats and Monocles Club for their monthly donations. And really, it's something that we never thought would even be – even the small amount that it is, it still means something. It really, really does. And I just wanted to say thank you.
Yes, for sure. They are the heartblood of this podcast, and they know who they are. We appreciate you guys. And, yeah, it allows us to – be able to keep doing this without having to keep losing money on the server costs, because that is the pain.
Yeah. And if you are one of those people, then you can start a slow clap wherever you are as you're listening. You just start yourself a slow clap.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now for a segment we call Our Stuff.
So on to our stuff, Jack. What have you been working on?
I've done a ton.
Have you?
No. That was a lie. That was deception. That was a bit of a ruse that I just portrayed there.
But you have done one model at least. Please describe this said model.
I put together a Strider, and the picture you've got here in the dossier here, a little, what's going on there? I don't know. Anyways, don't look at it. There's something weird with that picture. Everyone stop looking at the picture. Anyways, it's a Strider, and it's just a Strider.
What's its defining attribute, though?
I think his spine is the attribute that most encapsulates what I wanted to do with this Strider.
Yes, you do have to send me a picture of that, because it is a very cool spine you did on this. But it's also freestanding. This Strider has no base. Because why, Jack?
Well, why not?
Because bases don't matter, Jack. That's why. But he is freestanding, so that's if it stands, it plays. That's at our rules. So
I think the powers that be would demand a base for each and every model on the table. But I when I built them, I made them, and I thought, okay, I'll make the base, and I actually have the base set aside. But he stands up so perfectly that it just hasn't happened yet. So
it's not going to happen because bases don't matter, Jack.
Oh, okay.
Me, on the other hand, I also did a Strider-like thing. I did an Iron Ancestor, but it's the Dreadball one, modified with arms that are from a Jotun. And he is standing on a base because he would not stand up without it, but I do like him. He's all rusted up because he looks like he's been beat up. He's a bit mushy. So, yeah. I was trying rusting pigments on him, and yeah. He's a beat-up Iron Ancestor with Jotan arms, because I wanted the two gun arms.
Very nice. Not the mini I don't know what kind of hammer that is that they've got on there. A little T-Rex
the jewel
arm.
Hammer. The jeweler's, like, little tappy hammer.
With a T-Rex arm, yeah.
And I also did the Skyscraper for the orcs, because, I modified his arms. I put ogre arms from King's War Ogres on his arms, because his other arms aren't beefy enough for me. So now he's got huge arms. He looks like a gorilla with a jetpack, and I love it.
And his face kind of looks like Star-Lord.
Yeah, he's an orc version of Star-Lord. He's got a goggles on with a mask. It's true.
Two pistols. His devil may care, flippant attitude.
Yep, that he is now officially Orc Lord. But yes, it is. I also modified the base because the plume that was on it wasn't quite big enough, so I did some hot glue action at the bottom to make the base more plumey. Looks like it's blasting off the ground.
You did that for just the aesthetics, or was there like you wanted to fill up a certain area?
Yeah, to put it on the base, it looked like it was just not real smoke coming off his butt. So I wanted it to blend in a bit more on the base. So that's why I did. So it's like smoke, and then it blends into like a kind of like a dusty gray. It looks like it's blowing up the dust.
Okay. Yeah.
There you go. That's our stuff. We'll take a break, I guess. We'll be back with something else very important.
That's a good roll. Hey, Georgie, what are you watching?
Oh, I'm just watching a video on Family of Gamer 777 on YouTube.
What kind of videos are on their channel?
They have hobby videos, live streams, Dead Zone and Warpath battle reports, and tons of other great stuff.
Oh, cool. I have to check them out.
Remember, that's Family of Gamer 777 on YouTube, the hub for all things miniature wargaming.
So, Georgie, what's your favorite video on their channel?
I love them all so much. To pick just one, what do I know?
Welcome back to Coaching Friends, and today I'm joined with Roberto and Jake.
And now, a review from your hosts at the Dead Zone Podcast.
And welcome back to this episode of Dead Zone the Podcast. And now we're moving on to a review. we do have something to review, and it was very nicely sent to us by Armorcast Battlefield Scenery. The website's in the show notes, or you could just search for them. It is a 3-inch tall, small platform with ramp.
It retails for $21, and it's made out of resin.
Jack, you did most of the work on this thing. Let us know all about this wonderful item.
Yes, and in all transparency, yes, this was sent to us free of charge, so it's not like it's something we've purchased, and so just to let everyone know that is the case. It arrived. Rob brought the package over. I don't know, maybe it was 3 weeks ago now.
Yeah, I think it was just after we recorded our last podcast. So it was about that.
And it came nicely packaged in a little bag. It had some instructions on the top, which was something that I kind of adhered to. And we eventually Rob said, "Here you go. You paint this." So to begin with, there's going to be pictures on the website. You're going to see the three the pieces that it comes in. There's a ramp that could also be maybe a bridge. It's got the ability to be both. It's got a spire that holds up what would be, I don't know, like a watchtower or some
little platform of some sort.
And the first thing you notice when you take a look at it, that it's resin, it's cast resin. There's a ton of detail on it.
Yes, hopefully the pictures show even unpainted the detail because it's every little rivet mark and there's a lot of like plates and stuff on it. And I love the ramp with it's got little like bumps in it. So when you put a miniature on it, it doesn't slide all the way down. It's not like a slide. It actually holds a miniature on it.
Yeah, and it's got these little lines that you just kind of hook the base into. That's the only time a base matters, is when you don't want your miniature to slide, slip and slide style down. So we've got some pictures of what it looks like unpainted. And then the instructions that came with it, pretty simple, like basic instructions of how to do like a base job. And I decided I was going to adhere to that for the most part.
Like, and it tells you how to paint it?
Yeah, it gives a step by step, because it is cast resin. The first one, it said wash with dish soap and stuff like that to
get the cleaning or the release material off it. Or
yes, so I did that, and then I primed it. The instructions did specify Krylon primer, which I happen to have, so that was nice. It said to prime it gray, but I primed mine black first and then did the zenith highlighting with the gray. So I added one extra step. Okay, sue me, but for the most part, I'm sticking to what the instructions said. And then after that, and right away, I think I told Rob at that point, I said, this... like all the details popped. There's a lot of details and a lot of it's really good looking. So
it's like different materials, which is kind of cool. There's bullet holes, and then there's like diamond plating, and looks like sheet metal kind of stuck on there.
Yeah, and I think later on, Rob and I were kind of like, oh, we got to check out some more of this stuff. So we went to the website, and it's kind of modular terrain where you can purchase different things, and the ramp becomes bridges and some, and then there's bigger sets. And I guess it's you buy to fill your table, but they'll have that aesthetic. And I don't know what game specifically it was designed for, if any.
Yeah, I would assume it's for one of the bigger games out there that shall not be named, because we don't know what it is.
No,
but. But yeah, it's it's great for Dead Zone because it's 3 inches tall. It's like perfect height. It just, I don't know if it's coincidentally that. I'm sure it is just coincidentally that, but it's it works like as the next level up. This is it, like, so, and it fits into a 3-inch cube perfectly too. So
yeah, I guarantee you it's a coincidence that just happens to be 3 inches, but it works for us just fine.
Yeah, so. And the whole system's the same way. The armor, what is the system called? Tech walk system. It's called a tech walk system. And they're all same heights and stuff. And then there's you can get even taller spires and stuff. So it's like you can make even higher ramps and higher whole sections. Also, the site has buildings and stuff, but we're just talking about the tech walk system right now. But as you're saying about your painting, yeah, you started off doing the basic stuff.
Yeah, and then after that, it said use ink washes. So I did. I didn't use ink wash. Say I used my secret weapon, and I think I maybe used armor wash and maybe one of the other ones. Like they all got crazy names, but poop water or whatever. And I just dribbled it in places, less than others, and heavy in some. And again, all the details just popped. And then I think I did that. We were doing a hobby hangout, and that's what I was working on. Maybe it was last Dead Zone Monthly with Coach. And maybe if you want to see me painting it, then take a look at that. And then the instructions say dry brush to highlight the detail. And really, just with the washes alone, you didn't even need to do this step, but I did because I was really enjoying just painting it, to be honest. And then I took some liberties. One of the panels on each side, I painted like a copper just to see how that.
An accent color?
Yeah. I was just getting a little bold. And then because I'm still learning how to use the rust. Effects I got from Secret Weapon, the pigment. That's when the rust came out. So a very enjoyable project, and it really, if you were to, the time that I needed to put in there, pretty quick and easy to get a nice looking piece of terrain. Like if speed is of the essence, you can take a look, and I think it comes out even with my big ham hands. That I think it looks good.
Yeah, and you can see with the pictures we posted in the show notes. I'll show we put some Sorax that I had painted up and some Yindish in there, and they're shorter models, especially they're mostly crouching down, and their guns are just perfect height for the edge. Like it just turned out perfect for this stuff. Like the height is on the edges and the height of the actual thing. It works so well. And yeah, I'm pretty sure in the future we'll probably be getting some more of this stuff. And for cast resin, it's reasonably priced too. It's $21 for this set US. And I think that's well worth it for a nice, it's heavy piece of plastic or resin there.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that we'll be getting more because, you know, we have a ton of terrain, but that walkway works so perfect with the battle zone. Like it's the same width, almost the same size, but it's got a whole bunch of different, it's got a different aesthetic that I think.
Yeah. And also the weight of it. I find the walkways in the battle zones are a little light. So when you put a modeler, you can knock it off real easy. This thing's got a nice heft to it, so you can just set it between two buildings and it'll stay pretty well. Cause it's not just gonna blow over with a gentle nudge. That is the benefit of resin for sure.
Yeah, it's beefy. There's some weight to it. So.
Yeah, very cool. The tech walk system from the armor cast scenery, battlefield scenery people. And they are a U.S. Business, which is unusual. Most of the stuff we talk about is usually comes from Europe, just because that seems to be the hotbed of the activity. But it's nice to see a U.S. company coming in here with a solid piece that works so well in Dead Zone. And hopefully it'll open up its market for more Dead Zone people, too. So if you do buy something from them, please say it's for Dead Zone so he knows that 3 inches, 3, 6, 9 inch, that's the way to go. That's, we're happy with those numbers.
And there's two more things I was going to bring up. And one was when we went to the website, because we started window shopping, and it just happened that they had 9 inch tall spires. Like it seemed like there was a 3 inch increment there that I was like, well, that would just be perfect. Everything just seemed to work out.
Yeah, it must be just aesthetically. It's just that's the way it's a good number.
Well, for our needs anyways. And the last thing was we have a lot of MDF terrain that we, you know, and we had this discussion painting the MDF. It's getting better, but this is.
Yeah. Painting MDF, it's always soaks in and, like I never liked the look of this, but this, yeah, it's just like painting a model. It looks just as good as any model you'd paint. So
yeah,
I think it looks so much better. And that's a good thing about the hard plastic terrain too, but the resin and hard plastic is the way to go for terrain if you can find them for reasonable prices, which it seems like these guys are. So
yeah, so take a look. It's armorcast.com, spelt without the superfluous U in armor.
It's the American spelling of armor, armorcast.
Armorcast.com. Take a look. Do some browsing.
Yeah, because they got tons of other things too. We're just talking about TechWalk, but they have like buildings and vehicles and tons of stuff here. So
vehicles,
and they do have free worldwide shipping for over $200. So if you want a table and you're anywhere in the world, there you go. So I think that covers that, and we thank them very much for sending us a review copy because we do enjoy it.
And so that's that for our review of the Armorcast, the battlefield scenery. Fantastic stuff. But I'm looking at the clock, Rob, and it's starting to get a little long. We got to wrap this thing up. Anything else?
No, I think that covers it. That was a little extra special July edition of the show. Hopefully to see some of you at the Conquest of Triton. Come and say hi. And other than that, we have booked our Adepticon hotel after everything's selling out so quick. We got a hotel room, luckily. So we'll have to see people there next March. It's sad that we have to plan ahead for March in July, but that's the way it goes, I guess.
I've not been consulted on any of this, so that
it wasn't time.
You were in emergency lockdown. There was no.
Yeah, everything was going so quick. I had to get something. So, anyways, so until next time, I have been Rob.
And I am your president.
Jack?
Jack!
Oh, I didn't know you were a president.
Hey, Belle. And my dog, Bella.
So, from Bella, Jack, and I, until next time, keep on countercharging. No, keep rolling eights now. We don't have really a catchphrase, do we?
No. What's coaches for the third sphere?
Tyler always says, keep on rolling eights. I don't think Coach has one, does he?
Yeah. Okay. Well, then we should make our own. That's just ours. Like
Excelsior.
Yes, that's totally original. And I just thought of us right now.
Excelsior. It wasn't stolen from someone else who stole it from someone else. I think this episode's over. What happened? Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Dead Zone Podcast. I have been your announcer, William Randolph Wintergreen. Visit the website, deadzonegame.podbean.com. Email your hosts at deadzonepodcast@gmail.com. On Twitter, you can follow the show at Dead Zone Podcast. The Dead Zone Podcast is a production of Vinland Old Time Radio Productions. You have been listening to the Dead Zone Podcast. And now, a word from the fine folks at Vinland Old Time Radio.
Vinland Old Time Radio.
Ah, it is Tula.
Astro!
Oi there, dirigible. Help a fellow Empire citizen out, would you?
It's a gavel. A haunted gavel.
Have you read The King in Yellow?
Hello, William.
I made the koala burgers.
So what's new?
Are you insane?
That better be a rhetorical question. And yes.
For far too long.
I
I once knew a Spaniard in Tarragona who spoke in gibberish like you.
Up, up, and escape!
That was terrible.
I should be a god, and instead I'm stuck down here like a worm.
She would tell me such wonderful stories.
Dr. Deja Vu will return.
Africa's a continent?
It's with great protest.
Sorry, Georgie Pudding.
Ooh, now that's some fine programming.
VinlandOldTimeRadio.podbean.com.